This is Talking Business.
Joining me now is Asher Tan, who's the CEO and co-founder of CoinJar. Hi, Asher.
Hi, Alan. Pleased to be here.
Now, we're not talking about a CoinJar like the one on my dressing table, are we?
No, not quite.
Tell us about CoinJar. What is it?
So CoinJar is a startup I run, and it allows you to buy and sell digital currency, such as Bitcoin. So you can obtain these tokens and trade them, send them to your friends, or invest in this new asset class.
So it's Bitcoin obviously is a hugely interesting area at the moment, and it's gone through the roof in price in recent times. How did your thing work? What do you do with it? I mean, if I was a customer of yours, what would I do?
Sure. So Bitcoin is a new digital currency. Some people call it cryptocurrencies. Is a network which allows you to process and send transactions such as payments. And on our website, you can buy Bitcoin and send them to your friends, family, or invest in it. So we are sort of your first step into getting into Bitcoin.
So you're a Bitcoin dealer?
Yeah, an exchange.
Right. And are you a sort of a Bitcoin bank as well?
Sure. We can hold Bitcoins for you. The beauty of Bitcoin is you can hold it yourself. You can essentially be your own bank. But we have functions to help people get started if they're unsure or it's your first time getting started. So we can act as a sort of a wallet.
Imagine there's a lot of people first time because it's so new.
Yeah, it's new for almost everyone. It's only been around for less than 10 years right now.
Well, could you give us a 2-minute education on what is a Bitcoin? What is Bitcoin?
Sure. So Bitcoin, if you think about the words, cryptocurrency, it's a sort of currency, but it essentially allows you to process statements. So if you say, Asher owes Alan $10, or Asher paid Alan $10, they use a bit of fancy computation called cryptography to make sure to verify this happens. And that's essentially it. So right now, if you think about it, it's a way to have trusted computing between parties. So,
but the confusing thing is that the way you expressed that then was in dollars.
Sure.
Right? So, I presume the existence of Bitcoin means you don't have to express it in dollars.
Yeah, so it's most comfortable. Most people still think in dollars. Money has a lot of functions. You know, one is a store of value, and one is the ability to remit it and transact in it as well. So Bitcoin is many things to many people, and it can fulfill a lot of these functions.
Well, it's in particular two things. It's a speculative asset and a medium of exchange. Right.
Yeah.
You say, it's a cryptocurrency, right? So you can transit. I think where a lot of people get confused is, you know, is between whether it's money or is it a speculative asset.
So sure.
I'm imagining that a lot of your customers are speculators.
Yeah, they are. I think there are two qualities that make it a speculative asset. One, it's scarce. So there's only a limited amount of Bitcoin in existence and will ever be in existence. And the second thing, it's quite useful as well. So when you have something that's scarce and useful together, you usually see an increase in price because people want to use these tokens to either build companies for functions such as money remittance, e-commerce, and people are even talking about building companies or contracts based on this technology nowadays as well.
I suppose the difference between Bitcoin and normal money is that although it's also useful, like they're both useful for transacting things, there's kind of no limit to the amount of money that's been created in the world, whereas there's a limit to how many Bitcoins.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was one of the first things that drew many people into the Bitcoin system. But again, money is many things to many different people. So it's a whole new industry and people are looking at ways to take advantage either of lower transacting costs, infrastructure, or just being service providers in the industry like we are. Volatility is quite part of this, early network of payments. So just like how you've seen a lot of increases in tech valuations, this is somewhat parallels that as well. So a lot of tech companies and industries are coming on to build on this platform, which leads to a lot of speculation, a lot of froth in the system. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of people believe in the underlying value of these networks.
Do you think the volatility of the value or the price of Bitcoin acts against its use as a currency?
Initially, I think a bit, but it also shows a healthy market where no one party really can control. There are some offshoots of Bitcoin who have focused on working on eliminating the volatility. But the volatility for many, as you said earlier, is especially an interesting part of this whole growth of the industry.
Well, as you said, there's offshoots. There's a whole lot of other cryptocurrencies now. I think, there's like two dozen.
Yeah, there are probably a lot more. There are hundreds of coins out there right now.
Is that right? Well, so what's going on?
Yeah, so based on this innovations in Bitcoin technology, people have just found out how to make their own versions because the code is all open source. It's available to the public to dissect and figure out how it works. So people have made tiny changes, but in the end, it's network effects, and Bitcoin still has some of the strongest network effects out there. Many companies have integrated payment channels based on Bitcoin and are building on top of the platform. But there are new competitors as well to the space, like Ethereum, which tries to do some slightly different things, but it's quite a similar...
Well, in fact, Ethereum has taken off as well. Yeah. I mean, it seems to be the one that's most likely to challenge Bitcoin.
Sure. So Bitcoin was built as sort of a digital version of money. Ethereum is slightly different, where it's a platform where you can actually build bits of contracts and things like that on a platform and transact these contracts, which seems very out there and wacky, but it is coming into...
So do you think that therefore Bitcoin and Ethereum will be able to exist side by side?
Yeah, there's definitely space to play. I mean, it's all about looking for efficiencies in existing systems. How do we process information and transactions right now? And it's actually probably not as great as it can be. So, these platforms definitely bring a new perspective to
payments. I had coffee the other day with somebody who trades in the other ones, not the Bitcoin and Ethereum, because they're too boring. He's trading in all the other ones, which are all over the place. Yeah, he's having a whale of a time.
Yeah, it's a huge new industry and huge new world out there, and there are a lot of new and shiny things, but it's always good to do your own research and find out what people are actually using these tokens for.
And I presume you're going to have to start accepting Ethereum too.
Yeah, so that's definitely one of our most requested features as the industry has grown. But we're also looking forward to what people start doing with them besides the speculation piece, because we believe there's so much promise in the technology beyond it being a store of value.
It feels like it's something that has a long way to go. I mean, you're in the game, so you kind of would presumably think that. But, am I right in thinking that we're seeing the beginning of a change in the world?
Yeah, I think it's not just in terms of digital money, but how organizations exist and how we procure services from them. So right now, if you think of things like Uber, Airbnb, they're all very centralized companies. Proponents of this technology say that, you know, one day you don't have to transact through a third party, and, you know, we could have almost a seamless system that works in the background where people can connect to each other. And that's because of these new platforms, which allow movement of payments and trustworthy contracts.
That's incredibly subversive.
Yeah, it is. So, again, many things to many people, but we all can agree that it's quite transformative if they can pull it off.
Well, the one thing that strikes me about all of these currencies, in particular Bitcoin and Ethereum, is that they are kind of the first truly international currencies.
Yes.
I mean, the US dollar is the world's reserve currency, and it's kind of accepted in many places, but you can't really spend it everywhere.
Sure. So if you think about national currencies, you always think about allegiance. If I think of my local currency, which is the most common, to put that in perspective, there's a whole new younger generation who spent a lot of time on the internet and probably identify with the internet more than anything else. So it only makes sense now that the internet has its own currency as well. And I guess that's digital currency.
But the problem with Bitcoin is that it's being used for illegal activities a lot too. So it's got a bit of a bad name, hasn't it?
Sure. I mean, people have used it, but I think that's no different from any other store of value or transmission medium.
Well, exactly.
Out there.
People use Australian dollars for illegal activities as well, don't they?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it does work as a currency. It has shown, but definitely has a lot of way to go before it's more accepted in the mainstream.
Well, it's very interesting to talk to you, Asher. We might have to get you back in, you know, in a year or two's time to bring us up to date again with how things are changing.
Cheers, Alan.
It's been great. I've been talking to Asher Tan, who's the CEO and co-founder of CoinJar, which is a Bitcoin business.